Welcome to Shas Illuminated. Please enjoy the following shiur.
Before we get to others, this beautiful world Hashem made is full of opportunities. You come before a Pesach, it's an opportunity. A Seder is an opportunity. It's an opportunity. A Shabbos. Every Shabbos is an opportunity. And the world is full of opportunities, full of beautiful opportunities, beautiful moments, beautiful world, mamish, full of beautiful possibilities of great experiences. What could happen is after beautiful things, after a Pesach, after a Shabbos, after an encounter, after some experience, could be a sense of that which was missed, that which was lost, that which I didn't have. And the very important energy in the world that Hashem put in the world, the massively important energy, is everything's all in front of you. There's an energy, a person's alive, then there's all eternity in front of a person. The energy of Pesach Sheni, there's certainly beforehand there are opportunities. The energy of today, of Pesach Sheni, is it's all still in front of you. You didn't lose, you didn't miss. If you're holding after Pesach, so it's true, beforehand there's an attitude of an ivus, she'en yachol liskein, of something to chaparein, but there's an attitude and an energy in the world, it's all in front of me. I'm alive, then it's in front of me, all eternity. I'm here today, then everything's here, everything's in front of me today. That's like a beautiful energy of Pesach Sheni. Here you have a mitzvah. Karban Pesach is the most important asay. Two asays Hashem marks as the most important asays in the Torah. Bris Milah and Karban Pesach are the only two asays that the Einish is Karis, clearly marked by Hashem to be the most important asays. And these two positive commandments that are separated from every other asay in the Torah, Hashem saying they're more important, and a person's hope is holding, they missed it. It's after. Hashem says, no, Pesach Sheni. There's yet an opportunity. There's yet an opportunity. And the energy, the chiyus, the aura of this mitzvah of Karban Pesach, of Pesach Sheni, of the day we're in, is it's all still in front. You didn't miss. You didn't lose. It didn't pass. It's in front. It's in front. You're yet alive. There's opportunity. That's the beautiful aura that we all need to tap in. It's always interesting that Pesach Sheni is always very, very close, obviously, to Lag BaOmer that's coming up in a few days. And the energy of Lag BaOmer is a very similar R. Here Rabbi Kiva's yeshiva went through a tragedy, and it's like was, and there could be regrets on the past of what was, of what should have been, what could have been. And on Lag BaOmer, he meets a new Talmid Rashim Bar Yechai, met his Rebbe, and there's a new beginning, a new opportunity. It's all in front. It's not what was, it's continuously in front of us. Really, that's the sugya of Torah Shebaal Peh. The sugya of Torah Shebaal Peh is the journey of the Yid, the struggles of the Yid, the different things that went down, and it's all in front of you. It's all in front. Everything's in front of the person. It's all there to be had. That's the energy of Torah Shebaal Peh. If a person's going to be defeated from the journey, or be what should have been, what could have been, the opportunity that was, you're missing out. Torah Shebaal Peh, to understand that we go through a lot. And there are ups, and there are downs, and there are struggles, and it's all in front. We can yet still. We take what we had, and we engage in right now. That's the Levedek Asugi of Torah Shebaal Peh. The continuous journey. And Rabbi Kiva, who teaches the new Talmud, who's not busy what should have been, what could have been, but takes what was to engage what is, and the opportunities are still in front of us. That's the calling of Pesach Sheni, and one of the callings of Lag BaOmer is that the opportunities are right there in front of us. Hashem's giving us life, and we woke up today, so then there's big opportunity today. It's the Ur of Pesach Sheni, and one of the great Uris of Lag BaOmer, the opportunities are in front of us. I think it's a very healthy way to understand and to live. There are people who very much live in the past. What should have been? Oh, what I could have been. The opportunities are right here. Today I woke up, so then there's opportunity right here and right now, and in the present there's opportunity. Pesach Sheni says to the Yidu, says, oi, I missed what I could have had, what I should. It's not what you could have had and you should have had. You have. Now chaparai, now grab it. You have right now, presently, grab it. You have. That's Pesach Sheni, that's what Rabbi Akiva teaches. It. There were things, what should have been, I have right now, and he finds Talmidim and he teaches. So I wanted to share that that light with the Chevra, and we should all be zeich in our lives to see the opportunity that is right now. Not to be somebody stuck in the past of what should have been, but in the present of what is right now, of what could be right now. I'm sorry?
Isn't Pesach Sheni the opposite? You're looking back with Lama Nigar.
And what the answer is, the sense of I lost, and Hashem said, no, it's here now. The taina was we missed, it passed, and the answer is Pesach Sheni. It's a message of always, there's something right now, here, right now, you have. You didn't lose, but you have. It's a very important in all of our lives that we have right now. We have right now. To a Yid, he missed it. Imamish missed it. Mamish missed it.
You're out.
He's done. No, you have. You're very much in and you very much have. It's a true attitude. It's a true light. That light needs to shine in all areas because so many people live with the frustration of what could have been, what should have been. The old jaded person, the hardened jaded who comes to the youngster and says, don't blow your opportunities. Look at me. I always feel that's a very stale message. The father says, don't blow what you have. Look at me. You're a young man. You can have right now. It's not an emistic way of living. It's not certainly not a Pesach Sheni way of living. Right now, why plug in right now? Oh, what I should have, what I could have. That's not how a Yid lives. A Yid is in the present. A Yid's young, is eternally young. In the present, seeing the opportunities of now, seeing the possibilities right now of what he has. If he's so upset about yesterday, so that fuels now, so then he has everything in the world right now. Wow. If you're so frustrated about missing the first Karban Pesach, so that itself creates a Pesach Sheni. So then there's opportunity. You're alive today, there's opportunity. That's what Pesach Sheni says to me. I can't speak of this. Is what that seems to be the calling of Pesach Sheni. That you're breathing now. If you're even frustrated about yesterday's lack, so then you for sure have now. Then you for sure have now. If you're like all frustrated what you missed, then your mamish didn't miss anything. If you're upset at what you missed, your mamish didn't miss. If you're not upset what you missed, that's okay, so good, you didn't miss. If you're upset what you missed, you've had to do. It's here now, it's available now. I think this attitude has to dominate each person. It's a very important attitude. The Alter of Nevardik, who was so taught people to be a present person, he taught to give up 1,000 tomorrows for one today, but also not to be a person of the what ifs, if I only, I should have, I could have. I'm here now. If there's regret on yesterday, I hear. So that alone, so then you learn from yesterday what you want today and then grab it. But the Pesach Sheni calls to the person that you have right now. There's a possibility and probability and things available here and now in the present. That's how I hear the message and the calling of Pesach Sheni. It's a very normal attitude of like, but it's a very dangerous human attitude of the things I missed. The older person comes, don't be like it, as if they don't have opportunity. You're awake right now. You could bow maidim right now. Yeah, the whole world's here for you right now. The whole world's here for you right now. It's all here right now. And if you regret what you didn't do, I'm not saying not to be mischarit. There's something called charata, but then for sure it's all here now. For sure it's all. If you could regret, so then it's here. That's an energy and an and a kayach of Pesach Sheni that we could all tap into, that which is present, that which is not lost, that which, because I regret, so then I could have and I do have. That's the first thing that I wanted to share with the Chevra. The second area that I wanted to do for a few minutes is we're holding in the days leading up. We're moving ever forward. The 29th day of the Omer. We're four weeks and one day of the Omer, and we're moving closer both to Lag BaOmer and then to the ultimate. We are counting the march towards Kabbalah Satera. And many people preparing in these weeks, many people preparing work on the Memches Kinyanei HaTorah, the 48 things that are needed, that are necessary to acquire the Torah. Now I want to say just the counting. Certainly there's a big inyan to work on things. I want to say just that we're counting towards and know we're shayach to Torah, and Torah is shayach to us. That's very, very precious and important. I wanted to speak about a couple of the Memches Kinyanei HaTorah. To take the opportunity and learn a couple of them, it's in the sixth parak of Avos. It's in the sixth Mishnah, perhaps, and in the Memches Kinyanei HaTorah, the first one is Talmud Maish. The first Kinyan HaTorah Talmud. Now Talmud means, and this is necessary to learn Torah. The simple pshat, it means to learn. Learning, you have to actually study and learn. That seems obvious. To have Torah, you have to study Yehuda, no question. But it doesn't say Limud. It doesn't say Limud, Yehuda. It says Talmud. You have to be a student. It should say Limud, to learn. Clearly, it doesn't mean just to learn. The word is not the word that you would say. It incorporates also to learn, but it should say Limud. Talmud means that you have to be a student, means you can't be arrogant. You have to be open to learn new things. There are people who are very safe. Whatever they study, they know a few things and they shtup what they know on anything they study. They're not willing to learn new things, to be open-minded. One of the worst siddurim you could have, if you learn with somebody who knows the Gemara already, it's death. This is not, if you ever met, a guy tells me in yeshiva, sometimes a guy will show off. I learn with the Rebbe. I'm like, well, I'm so sorry to hear. Not because the Rebbe's not a tzaddik, because the Rebbe knows it already. Now, a good Rebbe, who's actually very wholesome, does not do this for the Talmud. What you're supposed to do, and it's hard, anything you learn, stop being a guy who knows already. We're learning this Mishnah Talmud. I want to learn it today. I am different than I was last year, than I was 4 years ago. You learn it now as a new person here. And you hear new things, you incorporate. I can learn things all the time, learn things that I've spoken about before, and I'm like, whoa, I'm a changed person. It hits me totally different. There's no even such a thing you can repeat like an old schmooze. No such thing. There's no such thing if you're present. I've had times before a shiur, I like preparing for a while. So my kids have asked me, I said, I need some time to prepare. They said, you said that shiur before. I'm not trying to prepare to like say the words. I want to be present to what's being said. When you read Torah, you're present and you're willing to be a Talmud, you're willing to be impacted, you'll always hear new things. Different things will resonate. Different things were hit. There's one condition, a person's humble enough to be a Talmud, to be open-minded, to be changed, to be open-minded, to hear new things. If we're stuck in a certain thing, this is who I am. I want to say this about everybody here. Do you think we know, people think like they know themselves. A guy will say, Rebbe, I know. Do you think you know yourself, Aviyah? That's like a joke. Our soul, do you think I know my soul? I'm touching like a drip. Of a drip of a drip, the neshama is to the end. One, it's chelik elokam mimal. You don't. You think you're like, oh, I got myself. People even talk to themselves like they know themselves. There you go again, Daniel. All those types of inner voices, are like I got you, and just you're so annoying. You're so. You think I know me? I have endless things I'm trying to tap into and grow into. When you're more open-minded to finding stuff in yourself. By the way, learnings, that adventure of learning helps you discover new things. See what hits you in an honest way. As you learn, you'll find new things here from Torah. As Torah goes in the Yid, you find new spaces and new things in yourself. Talmud is the willingness to know, I don't know. I don't know me, I don't know Torah, I can explore. People talk... In ADHD people, an ADHD person is the luckiest guy in the world. ADHD people have no problem concentrating. Zero. Zero. It's one of the worst mistakes. You know, ADHD people who have ADHD are the best concentrators in the world. There's like factual. There's studies on this. They have something called hyperfocus. When an ADHD kid wants something, if any of your kids have ADHD and they want something, oh, watch out. They will not take their mind off the thing. It's a hyper-focus. They're actually the best focusers in the world. What they can't do is focus on something boring and lifeless. If there's a class, I show somebody in front, some guy with a beard sitting here by Musar, blabbing on, ADHD guy's out. Has to be magical and meaningful and relevant. I think it's lucky to have ADHD because you learn things have to be relevant and magical and meaningful. An ADHD guy can't learn something that's just boring or repetitious. And by the way, there's no repetitious. You're new today. An ADHD guy can't just go to prayers and do the same thing over. Has to be meaningful and magical and like something. So he prays a new person, new worries, new thanks. He's like ever alive. That's all he can do. Nothing else works for him. That's the possibility. I want to say this, that people say in marriage, people say ADHD people struggle in marriage because they anything monotonous, the same over and over. The word monotony means repeated over and over. So an ADHD guy comes to marriage and is like married to the same girl 10 years, 20, 30. He wants change. They write about this by the Goyim. An intelligent person knows, you think you know your spouse? You're out of your mind. You think you know you're married 30 years? You think I know my wife like I have her neshama down? You're crazy. I see new things, new madrigas all the time. Like, are you kidding? But don't be close to it. Don't be so, you, in your brain, because we're afraid of the unknown, we like predictability, so we box ourselves in and we box our spouse and we miss out on the geschmack of life. It's true, people have some, they have anhagas, they have tendencies, that could be true. Be open to newness, to new things, to new madrigas, to new mice, and be open, see, allow for expansiveness. That's the art of being a Talmud. It's the first Kenyan HaTorah. If you're stuck that this is who I am, this is what I hold, this is what I one of the most embarrassing things about me is there are recordings out there I'm making fun of a certain type of Torah. That's the main Torah that energizes me today. You can find old recordings. I'm embarrassed from it. I publicly made fun of certain type. There are times, there are probably recordings. If I beg Hashem that everything should get erased from anything I said negative. It's embarrassing because at the time I thought I knew me. This is who I am. I thought a certain type of Torah that's not honest, it's not pshat, and today that's the main Torah that energizes my soul. So you lock in, this is you? I know, it's not my, when youngsters say that's not my type, right now, this minute, these 2 minutes, it's not your type, you have you down so stark. Right now, you're allowed to have a sense of what energizes. You don't know what energizes you. So you can say, right now, it's not what energizes me. Okay, I hear that. At that point, those svarim didn't energize me. Today, I'm thirsting for that. Today, that's the svarim that really talk most to my soul and pull me in. So the first mida necessary to learn Torah is Talmud. Talmud is the willingness not to know. The willingness to be uncertain, the willing to be a student. One of the things that triggers me the most is people that know. I know. There's a certain, only Avadai Shmai, Hashem's Vadai. We're not Vadai, we're Talmidim. We're people who don't know. I don't know. I'll see, I'll discover, I'll find out. That's the first Kenyan HaTorah. It's interesting. I'll tell you something interesting. I don't really write haskamas. I don't consider myself worthy of writing haskamas. It's not something that I've done much of in my life. Somebody I'm very close to, I like a lot, asked me to write haskama, and I felt to do it. And I worked on it a lot with my son. Yaakov was an outstanding writer, and we worked together. Yaakov's writing speaking should be precise, and writing has to be much more precise than the spoken word. In the spoken word, you communicate by our faces. You know what Johnny and I speak. It's like 10% words. It's mostly we understand each other. You look at each other. Your body language, that the spoken word, you could rely, you know what I'm saying. Yeah, I know what you mean. From just body language, all different things, the smile, there's a lot of things you say. The written word is the word itself. And it needs a precision that's crazy. I'm not a good writer at all. It's very tedious, and you have to write it exact. You don't repeat much in the written word. It just says what it says, and that's it. So to write Askam is a... I was working very hours with Yaakov to write it precisely. I said on the person that they're wide-eyed. Then somebody told me that's like an insult. Wide-eyed has a connotation. If you look it up, wide-eyed means like young and inexperienced. So it has like a negative connotation. So I was thinking a lot about that because I was thinking, no, they're wide-eyed. I want when I'm 94, somebody calls me wide-eyed. I want to be young and inexperienced at 94. To me, it's the wide. You ever see that they say about somebody who's a wide-eyed idealist? If you could, somebody look up the expression "wide-eyed," what it means? Who could look it up? Shlomo, please look it up. Wide-eyed. How would you describe before Shlomo looks up the official? Translate "wide-eyed." He's a wide-eyed idealist. How would you translate that?
Unknown, open to what is to come.
It's very good. It's funny in the world; it wouldn't all be positive. Because wide-eyed, I bet you when Shlomo looks at it, I did not look it up, I think inexperienced will be in there. Yehuda said, Yehuda is my Webster, and Yehuda, he said empty. He said empty, what you said other good words. It's interesting you like nailed it because you said the positive. What you?
I know where Rebbe's going for. I'm giving Rebbe's definition.
What would you have said? Wide-eyed.
I've never seen described by guys there as being like the youngest person ever, and I love that. So I've been like that for a couple of years now.
Yeah. In the world, wide-eyed would not all be positive to the point that I wrote it in Naskama that the guy's wide-eyed and somebody said, you're being negative, you're knocking him. And to me, that's like a great compliment. He's inexperienced, means he's fresh, he's excited, he's willing to like, oh my God, you're serious? Like, wide-eyed. Shlomo, what does it translate, wide-eyed? Listen to this. Avi, listen to wide-eyed.
It says, having a remark by unsophisticated or uncritical acceptance or admiration.
Oh, wow. Unsophisticated. It's interesting. You see, they put a negative connotation. They write wide-eyed like an unsophisticated, like...
Innocent.
It's interesting, JJ. Avi, would you consider, what would you be, if somebody called you like a wide-eyed idealist?
I'd probably Google that when I'm at
it. It's interesting. Arya, you see the negative or positive?
What's the negative?
Because they're saying wide-eyed is like inexperienced. What do you call it? He called unsophisticated.
The negative side. It's more like open-minded, no? Same thing.
Right. Yeah. I love. To me, wide-eyed, like Johnny just said, wide-eyed is like you don't see so much. Like you're looking around. There's a component of wide-eyed that's so beautiful. The willingness not to know. The willingness to be excited, to find out, to hear new things. So in a way, wide-eyed is in the world, in the Gaiish world, it's not the biggest compliment. To me, it's a tremendous compliment. It's Talmud. I consider it Yehuda, the first Kenyan Atar, wide-eyed. That the sense, I don't know. I'm like, I want to find out what's cool out there. I want to know new. I want to hear new and be. I want to be dazzled. I don't know. I like hearing things. That's to me is the first Kenyan Atar called Talmud. I think there's such a deep truth to that. When you learn everything, Avos is something we all, every Yid enjoys Avos, and we learn it in Klal Yisrael every year. I never learned this before. I'm looking at it this year. I never learned this before. I never saw Avos before.
Why not?
Because it's like there's different things hitting in different ways it's hitting. So that's to me, the wide-eyed thing is a tremendous compliment. I want to say that. I didn't take it out. Somebody said, take it out. And I said, that's not the way I'm going to leave it in. But I understand what you're saying. And somebody looks up the dictionary of wide-eyed is going to hear unsophisticated. That's not what I was trying to say.
We have to explain it in the context of this group.
Right. I didn't do that much pirish. What would you say, Ravazzi? Is that a negative word?
I'd be wide-eyed.
How did you hear the word? Yeah.
Unsophisticated to be a negative
thing. Here is like a certain, without any like easy, not like a difficult person.
I would give a fig. I would give a fig.
Yeah. Connects. You don't remember that statement?
I wouldn't give a fig
for simplicity on this side of complexity,
No.
But I'd give my life for simplicity on the other side of complexity.
Yeah.
So you're saying the wide-eyed is simplicity on the other side of complexity.
That's a fig guy.
I wouldn't give an American thinker said, I wouldn't give a fig for simplicity on this side of complexity, but I'd give my life for simplicity on the other side of complexity. He meant there's two types of simple. There's a simple just too stupid to know. And there's a simple, that's on one side of that I wouldn't give a fig for that. The simple on the other side of complexity, he gets all the things. It's a choice of simplicity.
As he's the guy didn't like figs, it looks like. It's something with figs. He didn't like giving figs.
The best thing I ever give is a bar mitzvah. Most people say you're a man, but I give you a brother.
That's good. That's this. That's very good. That's very good. Instead of saying you're a man, but it's... A Talmud Chacham doesn't know, right? The second Kenyan, HaTorah, is Shmias HaOizen, is learning to listen with the ears. That's a very funny thing to say, because how else do you listen? Could you listen? When I hear Shmias HaOizen, I think of a story that happened to me. I think of the story, Yehuda, what Shmias HaOizen, listening with the ears, is there another tool to listen with? Isn't that the only way we could listen? It says Shmias HaOizen, an ear listener. It's interesting because I was walking, a cousin of mine is blind, and we were going on a walk on Shabbos together, and a kid came up to him and asked him, what do you see out of your eyes? I was like the kids are so cool. Little kids and old people could be honest. Everybody in the middle can't be. But over 80, you just get blunt, and little kids are blunt. So it's like everybody in the middle, we all struggle to honesty. But the little kid walks up to him and says, what do you see out of your eyes? They said something interesting, Elia. What do you think he answered? First, I was like shaking from the question the kid asked him. But you know what he answered? He said, people think we see black. I don't know how he knows what black is. He said, I don't see black. He took the kid's hand. He said, give me your hand, youngster. He said, what do you see out of this? Kid says, there's no sight. He said, that's what I see. I think a lot of people are going to wake up tonight. Ah! That's what he said. He said, I don't see dark. He took the kid's back of the hand. And he said, what you see out of the back of your hand, that's what I see. I have no sight. What do you say to that, Ravazzi?
Last time it was elbow.
He said back of the hand. I remember he touched the back of the kid's hand. He said, I remember him touched the back of the hand. Touched the back. He said, what you see in the back of your hand, that's what I see. Is that like eerie? So, Yehuda, would you say, I would have thought black. Then people will tell him he just doesn't know that's what. Yesh Ladin Belidin. But he says he had no sight, not he sees dark. So when it says Shmias HaOizen, I think, like, what's the other Shmia? Like Shmia Ella from where? The only Shmia that exists is from the Oizen. Mm. What is ear listening? So Pashtus, what it means to be an ear listener, there are people that are mouth listeners, that only listen in order to say their piece. You know, says you go to a chast and your friend tells you a vart and you say one back. You were never listening. It was just, he said a vart, and you respond. Like, you're only here to speak. It says that in Mishle, it says that a fool just wants kim b'skaloi slibai. He just wants to say what's on his heart. A wise person listens and hears. Shmias HaOizen. Now, Avi Beitler asked on that a good kasha to say Shmias Halev then. Shmia from the brain, what's just the eisen? So don't have the pev, Shmias Halev. The Medrash Shmuel asked that kasha. He says, why is it say Shmias eisen? He says, even if you don't understand, even if it's just eisen. What?
What's the difference between the first one and the second one? Now, what's the difference between the first one and the second one? If you don't understand?
No, the Talmud, the point is to be somebody who's not arrogant, who's willing to learn, willing not to know. That's Talmud.
Right.
Shmias Ha'ezen is just a way of listening. Really digest, even if the place you don't understand, absorb, be present to it. That's what he just says. Even if it's just in your ears, don't reject it because you don't understand it. Hear it, let it sit. You never know. One day it will go in, even Shmias Ha'ezen. But certainly not Shmias Ha'peh. Any shmiya attached to the mouth, are you listening at all just to say your piece? I want to speak about the third one because I want it to be an aliyah for my father, Areni Kaparis Mishkava. I want to talk about the third one and I want to talk about this today. This Pesach Sheni, I want to share that the third Kinyan HaTorah is Aricha Sfasayim. Now simply, Aricha Sfasayim means to say it with your mouth. Now, I want to say this, whenever you learn, speak it out, speak it out. Don't just learn, when you're learning, even yourself, it's a huge thing. Chayim heim l'maytziyayim, says the Gemara, l'maytziyayim b'fiv, gives life to people who express Torah, say Torah. Don't just, when you're learning yourself, even say it out loud. Their famous recording, somebody put a tape listening to Rabbi Yashiv learn, he would speak things out. We would listen to my tata learn. He spoke things out. Even you're learning on your own, say it out. Don't just think it. Don't just read the words. Don't even lip read the words. Say them. It's very, very powerful, the Koyach of Dibur. And the third Kinyan HaTorah is Aricha Sfasayim, express Torah. It certainly means to say it out. A second thing I like that it says Aricha Sfasayim to speak it out. I've told you that I have a weirdness to me that people who think to talk, I talk to think. It's just how my brain works. If I say it, it helps me think. I could ask, do you mind if I just run this by you? I'm trying to think about it. The saying organizes my thoughts. Aricha Sfasayim, speak it out. If you, sometimes you think something up here sounds brilliant, and all of a sudden you say it, it's like really stupid. Say it out. Say it out. Aricha Sfasayim. But I wanted to say, Le'ilu Nishmas, my father, is Aricha Sfasayim, the Mefarshim bring means chaz, a review.
Oh, yeah.
People don't review enough. People say, I learned it, I got it. They don't review enough. This was my father's campaign, of his, one of the great campaigns in my father's life, that he pushed people chaz, a review. Review a lot. He held shtark till you review, you don't know something. Now, reviewing does not mean just read it a second time. That's not a Talmud. My father's review, my father knew Beya and learned it well over 100 times in his life, way, way more than 100 times. And he told us, he told me and my siblings that he found new chidushim each time. New things would hit him, he'd see new things. It doesn't mean to mindlessly read again, learn it again. People don't chazer enough. This was like a pet thing of my father. He always told us, the children, don't care like how fast, slow you're learning, review. Whatever you learn, say it again, learn it again. Reviewing gives a tremendous clarity. It makes you clear, exact, precise with what you're doing. This is something all his life. My father said, Chazar is the ikker. He always would say, Chazar is the ikker. Chazar is the most important. My wife was in a science class in Eretz Yisrael. And she was taking physics, and the teacher, the professor, said in college that my Rebbe taught us Chazar is the Iker. In the middle of like a college, my wife waited after class, said, I know who your Rebbe was. And it was my father, was this college professor's Rebbe. But my father's motto in life was Chazar is the Iker, and he would push people a lot to review. And the third Kenyan HaTorah is Aricha Sfasayim, learning to review things. Again, really, really for everybody, the stipler would say on a sugya that till you saw it four times, you didn't see it. It can't be stated enough the importance of reviewing. After you have something, sit down, get it clear, chazer over what was said, really learning to review something and have clear what you learned is huge. It's one of the kinyanei atar. The Medrash Shmuel says arichas svasaim. Other mefarshim say it as well. It means constantly reviewing. Again, nachum ol nachum. You'll see deeper and newer things. It's interesting. If you ever open a page, if you learn a Gemara you never learned before, it takes time just to like get a little familiar. It's an unfamiliar daf. When you're familiar with it, you could get to know it in a very deep and meaningful way. Chazara is not just rereading it like mindlessly. You never learn mindlessly. Never. If you learn mindlessly, it's not what we're speaking. Some Chazars people just read again and again and again. That's zero what we're talking about. We're talking about rethinking, again, Talmud, with that art of not knowing, but seeing it, have patiently seeing it again, hearing it again, thinking about it again. My father would describe to all his Talmidim how people learn things once and ask kashas and have tons of kashas. There would be so much more clarity if they read the sugya a second time and a third time, slowly and carefully. He held like the ikar simcha in learning is chazara. I tend to feel it that way. A Gemara you know already, and you read, you can like get in there, much more geschmack. It's literally, he held chazara was more fun, more geschmack, more besimcha. And he held it as the difference in people who become Talmidei Chacham Menat, arichas svasayim, chazara. So I wanted to just give an appeal for chazara to learn in all the things we learned, to review it. Read it again, have the patience, and understand, not mindlessly reading it a second time. Josh, the Nisayan always, because you know it already, is just, but if you open, be wide-eyed. So if we can chazer wide-eyed, then I think we see new things. I'll tell you something funny. I'm watching Yisrael Meir finished Harry Potter, and he's reading it again. And I see him reading it again. I'm not saying anything to him. I'm actually so fascinated. I almost want to ask Yisrael Meir, why are you reading again? You know what's happening already. You read it once. You know what's happening. And it's obvious there's a certain anana, lahavdil, infinite abdullahs, between eternity to not eternity. But in, he's reading Harry Potter, it's pashut in chazering. He could be more attuned. It's not new anymore. He actually could see things and understand things and notice patterns, notice certain characters that he wouldn't have noticed before he knew the book. Now that's in lahavdil to that which is infinite. To that which is Chachmas Hashem, the person finds treasures and ideas hidden in very precious ways. Chazer, learn to review, learn to chazer. So I wanted to share this truth with the Chevra. I think it's very, very important. I wanna tell you, I spoke about this on Shabbos. I had a very cool thing happen to me this past week that I want to share as one of the Kinyanei HaTorah. In learning, be honest to another person's opinions. One of the Kinyanei HaTorah's Pilpul Chaverim, Pilpul Talmidim, is listening to somebody else. You sometimes watch two people screaming in a Beis Medrash and neither one's hearing the other one. I love a good machlokes, and I love when people are opinionated and it's healthy and robust, but learn to be open-minded and hear another person. I got a call a week ago from a Lubavitch Chassid, and he asked me, could I mail you a sefer? He said, I wrote a sefer. He said that people feel that some parts of Lubavitch hold the Rebbe's Mashiach, and people say, that's crazy, he's not alive. He said, I don't know if he's Mashiach or not. This Yid was not coming to say, was not telling me his opinion. I have no idea. After having spoken to him and read his Sefer, I don't even know if he doesn't know who Mashiach is. He said, I wrote a Sefer because it bothers me that a segment of Klal Yisrael is written off. A Yid's a Yid, we shouldn't write off Yidden. And he wrote an intelligent, sophisticated sefer from the Torah, showing that Mashiach can come. There's Tchias HaMeisim Prati. Besides the Tchias HaMeisim of everybody that will yet be, an individual can come back to life, and it's possible a dead person can come back and be Mashiach. He's saying, I don't know who Mashiach is. But don't write off people as crazy. And he shows from Shas, from Midrashim, that it's possible. And he wrote a Sefer. Reb Breidowitz gives Askama to the Sefer, a beautiful Askama. And it's an honest Sefer. I spoke to the Yidden. I love the reason for the Sefer. First of all, it's a Yid who for 25 years, the Baal Tshuva, has been studying the Sugyas of Mashiach. He has a Tzipisa LeYeshua. He's been studying the Sugyas of Mashiach. And he's a Yid who wants to include Yidden and not write off Yidden. There's Askama and the Sefer Shloime blew me away from Reb Zev Lev. And Reb Zev Lev writes, this great tzaddik whose grandson's in our yeshiva right now, comes Reb Zev Lev and he writes that I want to publicly say, I publicly said that it comes from Christian sources, that they want to say, people want to say that Mashiach's coming back alive, it's from Christianity. I publicly said it. After reading this Sefer, I have learned this Sefer and I want to stand corrected. He's talking to the rabbi. I want to ask Mechila. And he has valid sources. He said, I don't know Mashiach, as Reb Zev Lev said, but I want to correct. I was nishtaimim. What an honest Yid. That's Torah. A Yid who publicly spoke and said one way and says, I want to stand up and stand corrected. It's possible Mashiach can come from the Mesim. It's not Christian source. It's sources in the Torah. It's possible. He said, I don't know who Mashiach is. I don't think anybody here does. And you know what? He says that it's from the Torah. It's not a problem to believe that at all. Zero. Rav Zev Lev in the Sefer says, I want to apologize. I want to stand corrected. He said, I've publicly written differently. I've read the Sefer and I stand corrected. What a kiddush Shemaim. One of the Kinyanei HaTorah is Pilpul Chaverim. Learn to listen to others. Learn to hear others. Learn to discuss things real. Learn to be open-minded. Yechavrus is saying something. I like in yeshiva, I've seen guys screaming and learning. I want to ask each guy, say the other guy's opinion. Say, but not in a cynical way. He has an art to bring, so do you. And I'm not looking not to have fierce opinions. People should scream and yell, but learn that he also has a right to his opinion and has a light to bring too. And Pilpul Chaverim is the understanding. Different people have different things to say and tremendous lights to bring. Really, they have lights to bring. Learn to listen in and hear somebody else's light. There are many, many lights. Hear different people's lights. That is Pilpul Chaverim. I'm very fascinated, and I'll end with this. We're learning brachas this year. And after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, so Rav Gamliel wanted very much clarity. He wanted very, very much clarity in the Beis HaMikdash, that he knew Klal Yisrael was going through terrible times. So Rav Gamliel didn't let much debate in the Beis Medrash. And I could hear why. I could talk about it. There's not putting Rav Gamliel down. There's a big R to what Rav Gamliel was saying. If you know about Rav Miller, he didn't quote opinions. He didn't want it to be, this one says this. There was a certain clarity he wanted to share. I understand Rav Gamliel. Came Rav Eliezer and he was made Nasi for his first day and he opened the Kaisle Beis Medrash and there was Machlaikis. It's one of the glorious days in our history. With all the machlokes, many difficult sugyas were clarified that day. We gain when there are many opinions. We gain when there's diversity, when there's all different minds, all different ideas, we gain. And there was extra sefalim, extra benches in the Beis Medrash that day. And Rabbi Eliezer did a seemingly dangerous thing. Galus, different opinions, different iris. It's going to be contradictions. Oysay Ayayim forever is a very, very big day in our history. That there are many people, many shittas, many ideas is a very big positive. Pilpul Chaverim is the willingness for somebody to hold different than you, to look different than you, to be willing to hear different things. So I guess like Rav Johnny said, today it all comes back to being wide-eyed, to be willing to hear different things and new things and other things different than we hold. So that fourth Kenyan HaTorah that I want to discuss today, Pilpul Chaverim. Be open to hear something new from somebody else, something you didn't think of, something's not even the way you typically think. Also express your opinion and fight it out, but be open to hear more opinions. More opinions, more clarity. Less opinions, less clarity. I say Hayoyim in the Beis Medrash, so many halachas were clarified because there were more opinions in the Beis Medrash. I got this sefer this week. It's a holy sefer. It's sitting on my desk. I was nishtoimim from this haskam of a sefer, of a beautiful... The yid who wrote the sefer blew me away. His name is Rev Lieberman, Johnny. Rev Lieberman, beautiful yid. The sefer, is a, was that his name? You saw the sefer, Rev Ezi? Shmai Shel Mashiach. It's called Shmai Shel Mashiach. Beautiful sefer. And this haskama, I've never seen haskama like that in my life. This Pilpul Chaverim. Different shit. Amazing, yes? I was like very nishtayim. I was looking at the haskamas. Yehuda, I want to show you this, Yehuda. Yehuda Brinus is Zayda, is the one I'm talking about. Let's see, Yehuda. Yehuda, I'm thankful you're here, Yehuda. Thank you for being here, Yehuda. JB's a very talked about name in New York. They're talking about some point guard for the Knicks, but RJB is much bigger. Yehuda Brian, it's Unzer JB.
100%. 100%.
Okay, but we know what we'll have to do tomorrow. We have to start zoning in. You need big things, need hachanas. We really have to start zoning in on Lag BaOmer. It's coming fast, and I want to tap in. You need achanas b'li neder. We're going to start focusing in the next day, probably tomorrow already. We'll have second seder. Will be 5:00. There'll be Bezus Hashem a mencha.
You have been listening to a shiur from shasilluminated.org. For other shiurim on many topics, or to hear an Eon shiur on any daf in Shas, including Maor Mekaymus on each shiur, please visit www.shasilluminated.org. To order CDs or for more information, please call 203-312-SHAS. That's 203-312-7427 or email info@shasilluminated.org.